It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
You know, I gotta wonder what kind of working relationship he'd have with Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
I've often wondered that.
Like, he, they, I don't know what his pronouns are, or their pronouns. Anyway, Satan.
And the Bulldog.
What's the upside of doing well?
Well, maybe they're too busy making everyone else's life hell.
Oh, boy.
And you might just be able to do your own thing if you're partnered with Satan.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They're too busy, you know, making Scott Norwood miss field goals.
Oh, come on.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I want to introduce my first guest. You know him from... 5 minutes he's ago. Been on WGR many times over the years, had his evening show. Now you hear him middays, noon or 1 until 3 o'clock. He was just on... Do you remember the Chris Elliott show?
Yes.
So Chris Elliott... They on Letterman, they came up with the Chris Elliott show. Chris Elliott was like a character, many different characters on Letterman, which I, to this day, I watch them all the time, and I'm always destroyed by them.
If you don't know who he is, he's Woogie from There's Something About Mary.
Yeah, Abby Elliott's father, the bear, lots of stuff she's been in.
Okay.
So he would, the Chris Elliott show was a talk show exactly like Letterman's during Letterman. Right? So, you know, he'd come out. He basically was just mimicking Letterman, making fun of him. But, you know, then you'd see, they'd have a camera three. You'd see Dave sitting there at his desk with a cigar. And then, you know, I'd like to introduce my first guest, Linda Carter. I thought I was here to see Dave. So, you know, I feel like this is a little bit adjacent to that. Are you ready for Saturday?
No.
After all our conversations all week, you're not ready.
No, well, this is two different questions. Am I ready? No. Am I more ready than I've ever been? Yes. Have I downloaded the app that I'm going to use on my computer instead of fighting with everybody else 5 minutes before the draft to download it and get it? I've tested. I've got a mock draft open that I'm working with.
What are you using?
May I ask? Football Guys.
Great. The Draft Dominator.
The Draft Dominator from Football Guys. I've been using that for years, but I don't practice. So I'm in the moment, surrounded by all my friends, and it's time, and I'm always scrambling because we reveal the draft order right before, and then we announce the team names, but instead of the people, so I'm not used to the names being the people yet, and it just gets all weird. So I'm eliminating a variable by learning my way around Draft Dominator before I sit down. Mm-hmm. And even if I don't complete an entire mock draft, I might do 10 of them. I might just do this one. I might stop. But I feel better about I feel better prepared than I have been in the past because you gave me a couple of tidbits over the course of the last week or so. And I've got my thing. I paid for it. And then I already canceled because I only want it for the draft. I don't need football guys telling me what to do all year.
Okay.
So I already paid for it and canceled, and I'm good for a month. So that's good. I won't get this. Most years I have to call. It's November. I'm like, hey, you just charged me $20 a month for the last 3 months.
You don't feel
bad
about that?
I feel great about it.
Okay.
I don't need it. I'm not going to use it.
I can't do that.
You can't what?
I can't subscribe to something and then cancel it immediately on purpose.
You could.
It feels wrong.
It's essentially...
I could, but I would never.
Well, no. It's essentially buying a high-tech version of the magazines we used to buy 20 years ago in the store.
They also sell magazines.
Yeah. Do people buy those still?
I guess because they make them.
But you see it in, like, April, and it's ready.
It's ready right now. I don't know when it was... I think it was finalized maybe, like, a month ago.
But...
The Football Guys edition.
I don't trust the things I see online. I don't trust that they're up to date. I'm never ready for the draft. I want to draft 10 seconds before the draft.
I'm saying you're buying the service and then canceling it so you don't have to pay for it.
No, I paid for it.
You're canceling it so you don't get renewed.
So I don't get renewed.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
No,
I'm not criticizing that.
Oh, no, I just need it for the draft.
That.
So, yeah. So
I thought you were sort of taking on a trial and then
no
intention of...
No, I buy this instead of spending $10 on a magazine like I used to. I spend $20 on this thing, and then it's on my screen. But I'm not going to do the annual plan.
Okay.
And it costs more to get the monthly plan, but I don't want next month. I only want this month, so we're good.
Okay. So you don't really have to worry so much about the draft order unless you want to sort of like pick by pick track the draft through the app because you're auction.
Correct.
I have been in... I use that app a lot. When I was getting kind of crazy into this, I was letting that Draft Dominator tell me everything to do. I was just like, well, this is computer intelligence and they'll know better than I would. So I was letting it, and I had friends who were like, are you serious? You're just going to let the thing make your picks for you? I'm like, absolutely. And then I came to think, okay, well, I need to have a little bit of a human element involved here. And I gained enough experience where I thought, well, I think it can happen in a home league that app is too smart for itself, where you're not, there are going to be big reaches happening and your app isn't going to anticipate that.
Right.
And so you need to be able to, because there's going to be value to scoop up along the way that the computer would not expect.
Yes. And it's so not accounting for, although there are settings in here when I can build in the biases of these other people. I don't know how much this might be what I do from the time I get home from the Bisons game tonight until I get in the car to go to Saratoga tomorrow. It might be the entire night that I get caught up in it, or I might close the computer and not open it until right before the draft.
You're just going to have to move fast on draft day if nobody knows the order and the names of the teams until right before it starts.
Yes, that part.
Because you're going to have to be really quick with making sure. If Ben, for instance, is in your opinion, and I'm not announcing here that you told me this, as a one on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of sort of his expertise level.
Sure.
And you put into the app that Ben is a one. You got to make sure if Ben names his team, some pun off of some player, you just look up and do a search. You're going to have to know that's Ben.
Right. That is the problem that I run into. But I am isolating that as my issue. The only real issue here is everything else is going to be ready. I've got the cap built in. I've got the rules. It's linked to the league. All of the stuff
I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous.
Of the fact that I'm going to do an in-person draft?
Yes.
Yeah, it is fun.
I'm playing golf Saturday.
Yeah.
I have not hit a ball this year, literally.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's every year.
Want to trade places?
No, I got to go. I got to go. They'd be so confused if you just got in the car.
I'm here for Brad.
You could borrow my truck and drive over to Ray's house and then just get in his car.
Pick up Scott and Ray.
Right.
And Dan.
Yep. You'll be good. We're all leaving from Ray's, so you can take my truck. No, I don't want to do it. I haven't played golf. I haven't hit a ball this year either, but I will play in a tournament on September 21st, which is also the only time I hit a ball last year. So, yeah.
I think the last golf I played was in this tournament last year.
Oh, yeah, because you're playing Tuesday, and I'm filling in for you. You and Chris are playing, right?
Then there's that.
Oh, you're playing Saturday and then Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, it'll be me and Owen Parker in your spot on Tuesday. It's all right.
Yeah. What are a couple of your plans? You don't have any.
Not really. Here's what I'm learning. My problem in an auction draft is I don't want anybody to get off cheap. So in this first mock thing that I did, I was like, well, Lamar Jackson should be more than $18, right? So I go 19. They're like, sold to you for 19. I'm like, I hate Lamar Jackson. He's my least favorite player in the league. I don't want him.
Wow. What's that about?
I just don't like him. I'm bothered by it. I don't play this game the same way that you do. I want some of your thing, but there is a human element.
I'm not talking
about
fantasy. You weren't talking about fantasy either.
I'm just talking about that's not a guy that I root for ever, or a guy I rely on ever, or a guy I believe in ever, and I don't want my team built around him at all.
Oh, okay.
But I also didn't want somebody to get him at whatever price, so then I bid him up, and then I get stuck with him, and I feel like that is going to happen to me again this year with someone.
Well, nominate him.
That's the new policy. I nominate him, and it's $6. Well, I'll take Lamar for $7. I don't know. Nominating him is my strategy, and I know that people can hear this thing because it's happening on the radio and online.
We're all going.
But I am, am intending to
crash it
until very late, only nominate players I don't want.
We talked about the strategy where you want to nominate players who are just below the top tier guys because you want to see if what you just said in that example is going to happen. And you could feel, you're not going to know. You could feel like somebody went too cheap, or you could feel that somebody went for too much. And if the room is not sure what the difference between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is in this draft, they might get antsy. There's only one Josh Allen. There are 14 of us. So I'll go a little higher. And, people are going to be, the adrenaline will be flowing. People are going to be excited. And what the fight against that is that everybody kind of thinks the quote smart strategy is to slow play auction drafts, and these are warring factions.
Yeah, and then the other one that just kicks in is, yeah, but I want him. Like, that's the other, you could do all this analysis, and you're like, yeah, but I want that guy on my team, and then it's just like, what's an extra dollar? What's an extra three?
That's
now
fine
you're
in the
that
beginning.
Bidding where, I don't
that's
know.
Fine in the beginning.
Stressful.
Stressful.
It's stressful.
Okay.
I got one draft. It's fine. My whole season is this draft.
It's fine in the beginning to spend a little more than you thought you would have to. My favorite thing about the auction is like that bidding war. That's the best. When two other people in the room are fighting for a player,
yeah.
It's absolutely the best thing that can ever happen in a fantasy draft. I'm in a baseball one, and there's a guy who lives in Florida that has never come up. At least since I've joined the league, I've never met this guy. He's never there. And then there's a guy who's always there who has brought me into this league several years ago now. And my favorite thing, it's why I'm in this league, I think, anymore, is because Kevin is going to see that Michael or Brian, this is Brian, in Florida is just thirsting for a player and they don't really like each other, I think. And he just knows that Brian cannot control himself. So he runs. It's a 15-second clock resets every time there's a bid. So clock goes back to 15 seconds. And I just look at Kevin, and he looks back at me. 3, 2, click.
Now.
And then, boom, right back at him. Like, it can drag out the day, but that's what you're there for. You want that, I think.
Yeah.
So it's the best.
And then the live version of that is going once. Going twice.
15.
Yeah. And everyone in the room going, you could have done that right away.
Yeah,
but that's no fun. So, yeah, it's fun. It's competitive. There will be arguments. We're all very good friends and have been for a long time. But there'll be a couple little battles.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You don't go all that way for that not to happen.
Right.
Speaking of drafts, I was texting with Sneaky Joe today about a different it was about a Sabres thing. And as Joe is known for, which is one reason I love him, he comes right back with a trivia question. Name the three. I'm sorry if he did this on the air and people are hearing this for a second time or something. He might have, but somehow he has this at the tip of his tongue anyway, and just it seems to always happen. He says, name the three Sabres coaches in history that are in the Hockey Hall of Fame as players, head coach or assistant. And it turns out it's only one assistant. And I got two out of three. I missed Phil Housley.
Oh.
I was like, Mike, that was the easy one. But
yeah, but ignoring his tenure as a head coach is also easy
to
do.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
I look forward to doing that.
Right.
I like to block that out. But he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame as a player. So is Marcel Pronovo, who was a Sabres coach in the late 70s. And Brian Trottier, who was an assistant here.
Oh, I forgot about him, yeah.
And Joe, I got Trottier right away, like immediately I got Trottier. And Joe's like, that was a hard one. He said, one of the highlights of the Cup of Coffee draft.
Cup of Coffee draft.
So I spent a good deal of time looking for the Cup of our 2020 COVID Cup of Coffee draft. And you were in it.
Okay, it sounds familiar to me. And then you say 2020 and I wasn't here, but I've been here. You know, in and out over the years.
We had the three of us, Joe, Bulldog, and myself, would get on somebody different each week. We did a draft every week because there were no sports.
Yep.
And you were with us for the Cup of Coffee draft. Do you remember anything about? So the premise was this Buffalo Cup of Coffee. Like, this is somebody who just like was here briefly, and nobody really thinks of them as
famous
a Buffalo
for other
sports
things.
Figure.
Yeah.
So, for example. Your first round pick.
I want to see if I get the first name that came in my head. Let's see if it's still the same.
Go ahead.
Ed Reed.
No.
Okay.
Joe got Ed Reed in the third round.
Okay. Can we just do the
Reed,
name?
Reed. And then Joe came up to, after the other conversation this morning, he said there are four Bills ones. Hall of Fame players who were on the Bills staff.
As coaches.
Yes. And he's one of them.
Schottenheimer's not Hall of Fame, right?
No, he not as a player.
That wouldn't work, and he didn't coach here, so never mind. Okay.
Other than that.
Fix my brain.
You want me to get it?
Was there a moment when Dan Reeves was here?
No.
Okay.
It's.
Yeah, just tell me.
I got three out of four, but I didn't get Dick LeBeau.
Ah.
Charlie Joyner, Jim Ringo, Ed Reed.
Okay.
Four Bills coaches. Those are three assistants, and then Ringo's head coach.
All right, back to Cup of Coffee.
Back to the Cup of Coffee draft. So I got the 101, picked Antonio Brown, and everybody was really mad. Sal was furious.
So good.
Sal was furious. He's like, how dare you pick Antonio Brown? He was not on the team. I'm like, well, okay. Cup of coffee.
There was a morning. There was a morning when that's all we cared about.
They consummated a trade for him. No, it didn't even make it to the morning.
It was over.
It was over an hour. Rappaport had, he's a Bill. They consummated a trade with the Steelers for Antonio Brown.
At night, right?
At night, yeah. Just like Diggs was. And like in an hour, Antonio Brown was on social media like, yeah, no. And so it just died. So
that's a great
cup
first,
of coffee.
That's
baby.
A great first overall.
Here's pick. Your team.
All right, I'm ready.
I loved your seventh round pick was my favorite pick of the whole thing.
Okay, I can't wait to hear what I did.
In order, 1 to 8.
Okay.
Johnny Bench.
Okay.
Bobby Hurley.
Oh yeah.
Here's one, and it's a favorite of ours, and it's a great pick, a great pull. Dwight Gooden.
Yes.
Buddy Ryan. I don't know.
Buddy
Ryan. Was he just around when Rex was the coach? I don't know. I don't know about Buddy Ryan.
I don't either.
You got to anything goes in the cup of coffee draft.
Yeah, I'm sure I found a way to justify it somehow.
And he might have been longer here than Antonio Brown, who was never here. So if he was here at all.
Ever, yeah.
Ever, it would count. Another great one here, Monica Seles. You really heated up in this thing. Monica Seles.
Right, she was always in the box with Golisano.
Tom Golisano's girlfriend, Monica Seles. Great pick. Sean Merriman.
Yes, lights out.
I'm going to skip 7 just for to amuse myself.
Is that your favorite one?
Yes. 8, Roy Hobbs. I don't know.
Drafts are fun.
Sort of. He's a fake person.
He was definitely here.
He was
even
definitely
they didn't
here.
Call it here.
He was only here.
That's a tough one.
Roy Hobbs' entire baseball life was here, pretty much, except for that farm he was pitching in when he was a kid. And 7 was Ronan Tynan. That blew me away.
We did have him
Ronan
for a while.
Tynan.
We did have him.
He was
our friend.
He was on this show.
I did well in that draft. What was the first round?
He's somebody I really wanted to impress, Ronan Tynan. We sat with him at the arena before a game once, and we talked about God Bless America. I'm like, it was written by a Russian. He's like, that's the pièce de résistance, the Irving Berlin. He was just like, I was really happy with myself in that moment.
That is awesome.
The first round was Antonio Brown. Bulldog picked Moses Malone.
Okay.
You picked Bench. And then Sneaky Joe picked Tim Horton. Those are fine picks.
Yep.
Those are all, the three other picks besides mine were great picks.
Yours was great.
Mine was just weird.
Yours,
and
yeah,
funny.
You knew what you were doing.
Snake draft. Terrell Owens, Bobby Hurley, Tiny Archibald, Reggie Bush. All right, I'm back.
Negative yardage.
Negative yardage for a season. Reggie Bush, I'm back. Connie Mack, Manny Ramirez, Dwight Gooden, Ed Reed, Craig Patrick, Buddy Ryan, Doug Gilmore, Ahmad Rashad, yep. Sam Weish.
Good.
Eddie Shore, Monica Seles, Anquan Boldin. That's a good one. At least he did put the helmet on.
That was
for like
a week. It's very Brown-like, but he was here for, yeah.
He was here for like a week at Fisher, right?
Who was the other?
And Terry Pegula called him Antoine Baldwin in the New York Times. reportedly.
Fast receiver. Fast receiver, concussion issues. Was here.
Terrell Pryor?
No. I want to say Tavon Austin, but it's not him. Oh my God, it's a name like that.
Oh, it might have been him.
No, it's. Well, he actually might have been here more recently, but
I think
Percy Harvin. Percy Harvin.
Percy
is who
Harvin.
I'm trying to think of.
Percy Harvin caught the long one from Tyrod in like the first game,
and then just he left.
I think that was Percy Harvin.
Okay.
Just to give you the rest of the cup of coffee draft is so funny. CC Sabathia, Sean Merriman, Trottier.
Yep.
That's how this came up.
I can picture him behind the bench. It didn't last very long.
What the tank year was it? 1 year.
Okay.
It was always so weird.
That you have the Hall of Famer here to lose on purpose?
Despised as a player is like on the Sabres bench. And I always wanted to think that he was sort of with me and hoping that they would lose every game.
Where are you on Lucic?
I never cared about that.
Okay.
That was the Sabres' fault. I mean, just, he did a hockey thing, barely.
Right.
And the Sabres made it into a federal crime, which they didn't have to do, but.
Fair.
Yaroslav Halak, right here.
Oh.
Pete Carroll, right here. Slava Kozlov to Bulldog in the seventh round. Ronan Tynan, pick of the draft. Joe then went for Taro Sugimoto, the made-up hockey player in the NHL draft in the 70s.
Now, did he complain about Antonio Brown? Because I don't think
you
can.
I hope not.
I don't think you can. I think that's the pot calling the kettle black.
We're getting Roy Hobbs. We're getting made-up people. Then Joe's last pick was Roberto Duran. He loved that pick today, he told me. He loved that pick. He said he fought like 20 more times after he had a fight in Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
Duran, Hamas. Yeah. Roy Hobbs, and then Bulldog, Tony Pena. It's good. And I went Clark Gillies.
Was Tony Pena a manager here? Did he play?
He was the Bison's catcher at the first game I ever saw at the Rockpile, 1978. Oh. For the AA Buffalo Bisons, the Pirates.
The Pirates, yeah.
Louis Salazar, Tony Pena were on that team.
Oh, nice.
The Bulldog sniped me. So then I picked Mr. Irrelevant, Clark Gillies. Cup of coffee draft.
I like it. That's fun.
I had to force that.
When's the last time you did a draft? Not counting fantasy draft.
A long time ago.
The fun drafts. Those were fun.
Yes. It's been years, yeah.
I might need to come back. I would like to participate again.
Well, you know, get in line.
It's kind of the wrong time of year right now.
It just ended the right time of year, right? Because now they're on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been following today? The practice stuff?
Yeah, I had Sal on. I had Tim on. While Tim was on, there were a couple of Browns injuries consecutively. And I said, you know, even though these don't seem to be a major issue, the things can add up. Like, this guy gets carted off the field. Even if nobody's mad at Spencer Brown for what happened, somebody might be a little bit mad the next time somebody goes down. And it could lead to something to the point where during the final break before my last segment, senior advisor Dan Dale used the word kerfuffle to describe something that was happening on the field.
That's a company word.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring it back.
For about the era of the cup of coffee draft.
Yeah. So I don't know what
Sal just tweeted that it was a success, that it's over.
All right.
Some pushing and shoving, but nothing worse.
All right. Good enough.
Alan's talking soon, and I'll talk to Sal, I guess, 5 today.
Sounds good.
Are the Broncos a rival?
No.
How many years in a row will you have to play them in the playoffs for it to be a rival?
2.
It's been 2. 3.
You'd have to, well, I guess if you split.
I'm right, aren't I? The 2 years ago?
Yeah, you are. It doesn't even cross my mind that game 2 years ago happened.
I know, right?
You remember when you lost. You remember when it ended. And then putting the other parts together kind of hurts. No, I don't see them as a rival.
Bo Nix is 1-1 against the Bills in the playoffs ever. That's a lot more games than a lot of quarterbacks.
That's right. No,
the Broncos, same as Lamar.
The Broncos are not a rival. I don't know who the rivals are. I mean, it's the Patriots, it's the Chiefs, it's the Ravens. I would say those three in some order before I got to anything else.
I'm just fixated on this AFC playoff picture. I watched Aaron Schatz with Mike Tenier today, and his metrics have there being 10, at least 10, playoff caliber teams in the AFC, and there's always one surprise. It's like, they're not all going to make it.
Yeah, I noticed it when we were doing the reverse power rankings that I was saying things that I was uncomfortable saying, and then I look back at the list. I'm like, how did that wind up there? That's probably why you do the exercise, right, to teach yourself what you actually think about the whole thing. But, I've got a lot of teams just sort of bunched up, and I don't know how to separate. Jacksonville. Jacksonville wound up where in our thing? 3rd? I don't have a ton of respect for Jacksonville. Denver wound up 2nd. I don't have a ton of respect for that might be exactly the finish. It might be off by a lot.
You sound like someone that didn't watch football last year.
Do I?
You took a year off. Jacksonville and Denver, that's 2 13-14 win teams.
Yeah, I know what their records were. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots, I know what the Patriots' record was. And where do we put them? 6th? Something like that.
Well, yeah.
I don't have a ton of respect for that record. It's not the record. It's a different team.
That's right.
Who's the coach? Who's the quarterback? What's the overall vibe? And I don't have anybody else that leaps off the page.
As Bulldog always says, we're not the standings.
Right.
This is power rankings, not the standings.
Right. Yeah.
We don't need the records.
And you don't need power rankings if they're just going to be the standings.
Exactly.
Defeats the entire purpose of it. Exactly. How did you pick them? They won 13 games. Well, yeah, because I don't think they should have.
Those power rankings are the worst. Why'd you bother? Thank you, Brad. Have a great trip. I want to hear all about it next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
Brad Ryder, The Chris Elliott Show. Oh, baby. So good. Sal today. Also, Benjamin Albright coming up on the Broncos. KOA Colorado. That'll be at 4. The cup of coffee draft lives on. How about that? 6 years later. Just found it on Twitter. Took little screen grabs of all the teams, and there you go. 803-0550 for your calls. Bills and Browns have wrapped things up. Josh Allen to speak shortly. We'll talk to Sal all about it later on. Thanks for being with me. No Bulldog today. He'll be back on Monday. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
I don't want to change Josh Allen's game as well, but he's every year I think he's evolving, his fine-tuning his mechanics and understanding the defenses. But look, that's going to be an element into his game. And, 30 years old is very young for quarterbacks still. It's different for some other positions. So full expectation to see the full version of Josh Allen this year.
Joe Brady, things have wrapped in Cleveland, but for some of the press conference stuff, including Josh Allen. All right, I have capitulated on the headphones. We have a new pair of headphones. I don't think they're high-end. That's fine. What they are also are not is broken, unlike the ones I have just decided to at least temporarily retire. You know, like an athlete. You're not sure right away. Maybe someone will call you. It's weird. I mean, any amount of experience, I think, just this is my excuse anyway, doesn't change the fact that it's such a different sound in my ears than the last pair, but I guess that's to be expected. So, where are we at on everything? The Bills and the Browns come off the field. From what Sal is tweeting, there were no incidents or injuries, and that's, you get an A for that. I can certainly understand the value that teams find in these sort of things. I was just thinking and struggling a little bit today to come up with like different angles on the 2026 Bills season. And I welcome you to sort of join me in just kind of riffing about this, like what's on your mind about it, good or bad. Brady, of course, is a big topic, a big story. There's only so much we can really know or say, though, about how this is going to go with Joe Brady. I don't think there have been any missteps yet. What would that be? I mean, he did play his guys on Saturday, got away with it, and even that is one where I think people get why coaches are tempted to do that. It's sort of common sense that the reps are worthwhile. I don't think anybody plays on Saturday, but we don't know that yet officially. I think today was that for them. That's kind of how even Brady was talking and how we've been talking this week, that the controlled practice would basically be a substitute for the game in terms of like one versus one matchups and trying to, accomplish something. Now I think you take the money and run, and Saturday is for the backups. You don't want to lose them either, but you're not going to risk. I think it would be incredible if Allen saw the field again in the preseason, but we'll see. But, Brady, it's his first shot at it on any level as a head coach. And I think so far I'd say he has looked the part and sounded the part. So, again, too soon to really know anything, but nothing about what's happened here since they got on the field in Rochester has kind of changed my mind about him or about them overall. Khalil Shakir is hurt. Ed Oliver is also hurt. Like, we know from Brady today that they're both injured. I never want to root for an injury, and I've tried to make this point many times about Shakir. Like, I don't have a problem with him or anything like that. When he was drafted, it was a day three pick, and right away we were hearing good things about what kind of player he might be. I know Sigmund Bloom, for one, came on our show after that draft and was like, Shakir could be a player. And he has been. But I think, as I've said many times, I think the Bills' offense is somewhat capped by him as their number one target. I mean, that's what he's been, basically. But you're getting what? You're not getting big plays unless he breaks tackles. Yards after the catch are your only real look at that. You're not getting touchdowns either. And specifically, because of Kincaid, I think he can, if you want to put it this way, limit what they're capable of as an offense. I mean, if Kincaid is healthy, you want him as your F receiver, we call this now, maybe you always have. You want him, he's not going to put his hand down. Knox is going to do that. They want Knox on the field. We've talked about this many times. Like I said a few minutes ago, I kind of feel like I've already been, this is maybe how the players feel when you get to this time of year. Like, we've been over these same kind of topics so many times. But Kincaid in that position in a more expanded role, which is what you can only do, I think, if Shakir is off the field, then maybe you have, I mean, what kind of investment he is not the point, although he is a first-round pick, and Shakir has gotten a big contract. But the point is, you've got a more dangerous downfield option on the field than you otherwise would have had. You can have them. They've both been on the field before. But I just think to get exactly what you want from Kincaid, I think almost that Shakir has to go away. Then, though, you need an outside receiver who can pick up that slack. And now you have DJ Moore, and that's a big get for the Bills. And that's another one where we've talked about it to death, but don't really know yet what that's going to be. I think there's a lot of optimism about him. I think I mentioned this yesterday in terms of fantasy football, where I spend a lot of my time. The Carolina game did well for DJ Moore, that I think mostly the community, if you will, went from kind of like, we're bored, another new team. Is he washed from last year in Chicago? Some sort of, like, you hear it in my voice, I mean, or my words, like some sort of a just general malaise and maybe negativity toward him to, okay, maybe not. I mean, he got open, downfield plays, the one crosser against Carolina. Maybe there's a, you know, there's going to be a season there in DJ Moore. And then what? And the guy that we never talk about is Palmer. Yesterday, talking to Sal, yesterday or Tuesday, talking to Sal, it's like, right now, they go to Cleveland. Shakir was not on the field at practice. DJ Moore is off to the side. And Coleman's in a walking boot. So you've got three receivers down for this practice today. Or maybe it didn't turn out that way with Moore. I know Shakir was not available. And so that leaves Palmer, who I was not excited about as an acquisition in the first place, because I just, in several years with the Chargers, there was never, I mean, there was one year where he popped a little bit, but that was because of injuries maybe where he was needed. You never had a year where he commanded targets, where he sort of enforced his will, if you will, on the Chargers offense. And I just thought, like, that was probably going to continue. But he's somebody, if you didn't have Shakir, whether you for some reason wanted that or didn't want that, either way, just imagine if you didn't have him, then I think it's pretty straightforward. Moore, Palmer, or Coleman, but now Palmer, Kincaid, Knox, Cook. And then your front five and Allen. Like, that's your 11. And we can call that 12 personnel, because Kincaid is listed as a tight end, or maybe more want to think about it as 13. That interests me. Then you have an offense where you almost have to see more air yards from Allen. Now, it's good to have underneath, and Shakir does that, and Cook does that, although Cook doesn't get many targets. Maybe that changes, and Knox. But that, to me, looks dynamic. If you got there, and we'll see if it ever happens and how that would hold up. And that brings up another point, which is, and I think I speak for a lot of people, but not everyone necessarily, of course. I mean, that's never the case. But we've been pining for a Bills offense that is more threatening, is more dangerous, is more about Allen and his talent getting the ball down the field more often than they do. And what I say, I know I don't speak for everybody, but there's a lot of us who have been waiting for that and begging for it even. And at the same time, what they've been, which is not that, has been very successful with Cook and the role he plays and being more conservative, and with Shakir and what his assets are, what his strengths and weaknesses are. It's what it's added up to is a team that wins 12 games every year. I mean, what can you say? And another one that I've talked about a lot is that for all that that's been worth, then you get to the playoffs and you need more, but that's like really such a fine line, because their losses have mostly been so close, and you're talking about one or two plays, and I don't know. I've never really been able to figure out how to advertise for, well, this is obviously what they need to do. Well, why? Because they went to the second round or the AFC Championship and lost by a field goal? That's the difference between winning and losing? I mean, that's kind of a tough argument. A lot of teams over the years have been good enough to do that. Not every year. I mean, the Bills are coming up on some historic stuff with their run of playoff appearances and then losses shy of a championship. I mean, there have been lots of teams that have been likewise, and I don't know, like some are obvious for what they need. You know, this team, we talk about pass rush for that. And then also that dangerousness in the passing game that's been lacking, at least post Diggs. So that's a lot of what, if you missed the summer here on WGR, that's a lot about it's a lot of what we've been doing for the last few months is, what is DJ Moore going to give to them? What is Joe Brady going to be able to do as the head coach for the first time? Do they have any sort of shift philosophically in how they want to play? We've talked about the schedule a lot and the fact that it's tougher, starting right away with Houston in week one, a team that has been a problem for the Bills, protecting Allen in that game last year, last couple of years. There's that glaringly weird 9-for-30 Allen game from Houston in 2024. So would love to know where your head's at with these guys as we get another day closer to the season. Sal will join me at 5. We're hoping for Benjamin Albright coming up in 20 minutes. A check-in on the Broncos and how things look to him about the AFC West and the AFC overall. Mike Tenier yesterday was really good on that. I want to talk about some of what I heard from him and Aaron Schatz on their podcast earlier today. Aaron at ESPN, they did an hour on the AFC North that I thought was pretty good. 803-0550 to join me. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.